Podcast.
Hey, we're the Bitcoin Nomad family. We're bold and provocative, free and independent, decentralized and a connector to the rest of the world. You don't talk about money, well, we do, and we ask the question no one wants to ask. Nomads can do anything, even the impossible. And with that, welcome back to another episode of Nomad Podcast. And today, I'm here in the pretty much warm and sunny Vienna. And today's episode will mostly be about our experience at the Swiss Bitcoin Conference and also at the G-Code Conference. And I'm going to start with the Swiss Bitcoin Conference, since the Swiss Bitcoin Conference is a German-speaking one, and for me, it was one of my first German-speaking conference. I gotta be pretty much honest with you, I did not expect it to be that good, because you always think that these German-speaking conferences are like, you know, it's German-speaking, they're not like, you don't have like a Jack Ma, Jack Dorsey, a Michael Saylor, and like, that's not true. There are some interesting people. I mean, we had Nico Yilch, we had Rahim, who was also on the main stage in Madeira, talking about Austrian economics and Sisi and all the history around that. I mean, we had some pretty much good people. We had Mark Friedrich, if some of you know him or don't know him. He's a German, I wouldn't say politician, but he's basically much a German politician, if you want to say so, who is against politicians starting wars. And he's basically liberal, let's say it like that. But yeah, we had some pretty much good people, and I did not expect it to be that good. And the guy who organizes it, Sasha, he has no sponsors at all, and he paid it mostly out of his pocket, you know, it was his own money. So that was pretty crazy. It was also funny to see that the you know, I always like to compare it to the English ones. At the English conferences, there's always, you know, party. There's such a huge thing going on, and you know, just generally everything is big, everything is great, everything is party nice. And but then the humor, on the other hand, and how the people are, is like much different. While at the German speaking one, there was like, you know, it was great, but just the atmosphere of the people wasn't that special like you experience at the English one. And I think that was also mainly because we had some newcomers, and also because, you know, German-speaking people, they're always like this. They never are open to anything. They're always like this closed, and I only want this. While at the English-speaking conferences, it's more international, right? So we're mostly open. That was a thing that I noticed. But it was great. I mean, it was also great since my mom was the only woman on main stage presenting her topic, which is always a crucial one and important one, since she is an ex-banker, so she will talk about finance. It's her thing. And her presentation was mostly about being financially independent, sorry. And that woke up some people, especially she talked about how, you know, the role of Switzerland and America and that connection, and said how Switzerland always pointed finger at everyone else and thought they were the best, they were neutral, they were, which they weren't. I mean, to be honest, in World War II, people, if you don't know that, we helped the Germans and build weapons for them and sold them gold and all that stuff. And how should I say? Took the money off the Jews. So Switzerland was not neutral at all. Switzerland's not perfect, as it always claims to be. So that, you know, now imagine if you're really that patriotic as a Swiss man or woman, and you're sitting there listening to this and like, oh shit. You know, That was a lot. That was, you know, that woke some people up, and it was not easy, I imagine. So, yeah. And she also brought the example of Credit Suisse, which is really funny how, rather than letting it go bankrupt and letting whole Switzerland go bankrupt, they did the worst next thing, too big to fail, too big to jail, I would say. They let UBS buy it, so on the international basis, not on the Swiss basis, on the international one, because on Swiss basis, Credit Suisse is still exists. But yeah, that was really funny. So seeing those faces going from to what's funny, so yeah, and my mom was of course not only presenting on main stage. She was also presenting on the lady space. And in the lady space, men were not allowed, funny enough. It was the lady space only, so really, even said it until ladies only. So I did not enter, but of what I heard, it was pretty much straightforward, like always. She made some good examples of how to be financially independent, especially as a woman, not depending on your husband's wallet. That's always a great topic. I mean, because nowadays we think like, oh, that's not a thing anymore, that women are independent on their husband's wallets, but it actually is. I mean, there are still women which do that, so it's kind of crazy. But yeah, and that was basically it with the Swiss Bitcoin conference. I mean, there were some great panels, there were some great talks. I mean, I was allowed to ask questions again, so that was funny. I mean, I even got people even applaud me, and then after the panels, and after there was like, you know, when there were like breaks, they even approached me, hey, you were the guy who asked the question. That was really great. So generally, people wanted to talk to me as well, because they were like, hey, you're the son from Natalie, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm the son from Natalie. Oh, okay. Can we ask you something? Can we interview so can we interview can we get more details about your podcast? That was really crazy. So but it was great. And I think also that when we go to those conferences, we should make connections. So I made my connections, and we also had some fun, because we not only met the people from Solify, and if you don't know Solify, they do pretty much good work in the German-speaking countries like Germany and Austria and Switzerland for the farmers. They want to orange pill them, and I think that was like really, that's fucking cool. I mean orange pilling farmers, but in the same time they want farmers to green pill us Bitcoins to show us the natural way of planting your potatoes, your own food, generally, you know, being your own farmer in a sense. And I think that is really cool. So I will link that down below. Make sure to check it out, for all German speaking people. Then we also had some fun with our old friends. So that's Teresa from 21 Bitcoin Mines, which took pictures with me. I know they look horrible. And we also had the other Teresa from Berlin, which also took picture with me and mom. I know looked horrible as well. But yeah, well, it was just funny. We had such a great time. So yeah, that's with the Swiss Bitcoin conference. Now, before I change to the Cheat Code conference, which was in England, in Bedford, in London, should I not change my shirt from a Chelsea to a Bedford shirt? Ugh. Oh, that's better. So, real Bedford. Yeah, what can I say? The Cheat Code conference in Bedford, in London, it was just simply amazing. I mean, it was the first time there. Yeah, the first time. And there were really, re it was really great. I mean, there were some big faces presenting. I mean, we had Natalie Brunell, we had Jack Maness, Obi, Preston Push, what can I say? Jeff Booth, Lynn Alden, Natalie Brunell, Orsett. We had so many. Ah, oh, we had Alex Gattino, though. I have my opinion on him. I will come back. I will come to back to that later. So, but yeah, we had all these famous faces. We didn't have Taylor, but maybe he didn't make it. But yeah, it was just simply great, especially for the first time. And funny enough, the whole event was in a corn exchange, in a really old corn exchange where they used to exchange corn and selling goods. I mean, that was simply amazing. I mean, why not make Bitcoin historic, you know? So that was cool. And it was just, I mean, hats off to you, Peter, who organized it. I mean, no, Peter especially, he's such a great guy. I mean, his whole family is great. I met his dad, his son, his sister, his brother. They were so lovely. And you know, Peter always seems like this tough guy, and you know, I have the tattoos and I'm tough, and but he's actually such a great guy. He's really caring, he's really loving, he has a good heart. So and I mean, also his dad, he was, you know, I talked a lot about Bitcoin and football to him, because football is a passion I share with many. Probably that's why most people approach me, probably about football, no. But and we talked about it, and when I sat there, it was just you know, I'm old. I'm the young one. I'm the next generation of this whole society, and I'm talking to a guy who lived past two societies, you know, or two generations, let's say it like that. And it was so funny, because Bitcoin is not only for young people, it's also for old people. It's for old and young. We don't have like a age limit, you know. There's so many people who still think Bitcoins are mostly middle-aged people, but no, it can be old and young. It can be old, middle, young. Yeah, old, middle, young. And that was really, I thought it was beautiful, to be honest, that there was this old guy talking with me as a young guy, and we understood each other perfectly. And just generally, Peter, your family, they're so loving and caring if you're watching this. They're great. And yeah. One thing I also noticed at the Chicoi conference was that I want to be honest with you. I was at the Alex Gladstein panel, that one where he presented his presentation about human rights, and I agree with him what he mostly said, that you know, he mainly talked about how human rights are ignored in Eastern countries. Well, I'm thinking like what did the US do trying to assassinate Julian Assange? That's not a human rights issue. Or when they killed over a million in Iraq, no human rights issue, but that's a different topic apparently, because he's American, he always thinks he's better. That was the thing I had the problem with. He pointed fingers at Russia, China, North Korea. I'm like, yeah, sure, I agree with you. They are dictators, but I mean, look at Australia. They pretty much implemented the social credit system, or try to. That's not dictatorship like. I mean, what the fuck? And I then tried to talk to him, and he was like, yeah, He pretty much ignored it. He didn't give a shit. I mean, which now makes sense, because he was literally, when I'm recording this, ooh, when was that? A day, 2 days ago, he was literally at a conference, which was, and that's the big shit, which was made by BlackRock. He went to a conference which BlackRock organized and made, and he spoke there. Makes sense now why he's like sorry for saying that, sorry for saying like that, such a dick. But you can think of him what you want. I mean, I agree with him what he said about human rights and so, but he could point fingers at these and Russia, but then not at himself as an American or as someone from a Western country. I mean, I don't need to mention Justin Trudeau, you know. So why not call that guy also a dictator, the way he acted against those protesters, by, funny enough, closing down their bank accounts and taking their money away. But yeah, that's anyway. Yeah, and that was the only thing that really much I didn't like at the Chicoi conference. Generally, I don't like it when they get political at any conference. I mean, you know, that whole gender thing, that whole politics in left and right, and I mean, no one is good. No, either left or right. I don't give a fuck. I'm in the middle. I'm a centrist. I choose my way. If I have to vote for left, I vote left. If I have to vote for right, because no, if I generally have to vote for either, because they give me, I mean, they benefit me, then I do it. But Do you really need to? Well, no, not really. But yeah, that was the thing that pretty much not yet both or mostly all conferences I've been to, they are always this political. And sorry, I already said it once, I already say it again. Keep politics out of finance, and especially keep emotions out of finance, because that's not a good mix. That's not a good combo. I mean, I'm a banker. My mom was an ex-banker, so I am a banker son. So that's what I learned from my mother. But yeah, that's the mostly thing that annoyed me. But overall, it was pretty much cool. I mean, after the whole event was over, we even were allowed to watch a football game at Bedford. So it was great. It was great atmosphere, you know. It resulted in nil-nil because it was just pretty balanced, you know, balanced game. But there was actually a penalty which Bedford didn't score. So yeah, that was I was like in the 90th minute. So that was pretty much you know, yeah. But anyway, I was even like behind the goal. I was even don't go right. The goalkeeper's gonna know it. And then what did he do? He went for the right corner, and the goalkeeper had it. So that was great. But no, actually not. But yeah. And funny enough, when I watched to my so I was when that is the field and the goalkeeper was here, and you know the whole goal thing, and I was here, and here was Jack Mulders, and I looked at to my left and like, hey, that's Jack Mulders. What is he? I never thought of him being here, and I went to him and asked for a picture. And that was really funny because and he was like I was like so not scared, but I respected him. I was like, because he was also talking to Alex Gatson probably because of that, but I was like, hey, can I take a picture with you? Because you know, and he was like, yeah, sure, man, come on. I was like, it's not bothering me. No, sure, man. And you know, with his American accent, yeah, sure, come on, come on. And so yeah, I took a picture of Jack Mulders. And after I took the picture of Jack Mulders, I of course also saw some other faces like Jeff Booth, and I even went to him. I was like, he was with Natalie Brunell. I was like, hey, Mr. Booth, and he was like, no, call me Jeff. Mr. Booth was my father, you know, with his American accent. I was like, okay, Jeff. I was like, Jeff, can I get a picture of you as well? Because I just took one with Jack Mulders, or can actually my mom get a picture of you? Because I took one with Jack Mulders, and he was like, yeah, sure. Bring your mom, bring me mom. And then my mom came, took a picture of them with Natalie Brunell, with Jeff Booth. I was like, oh, they can't get any better. So I said, yeah, and that's a picture of Jeff Booth and Natalie Brunell, and yeah, that was just amazing. Yeah, and I also talked to those people because I wanted to tell them that me as a next as my generation, as you know, as the next generation of our society, how we or how they as those big guys, as those big investors into Bitcoin can improve the space and can orange pill my generation in a simpler way. Because my generation will learn through games, they will learn it through reading books, although reading books, but anyway, that's how I learned it. And I try to talk to them about that, and they actually are they say, yeah, that's the crucial thing. We have to start at the basis, we have to start in schools. And I mean, there is some great work. I mean, we had Reina Chicas 2 episodes ago talking about education in El Salvador, for example. We have and In schools, so we have to start there. And we mostly talked about that. And then a big surprise came, the Winklevoss twins. That's like huge surprise. You know, the guys who created Gemini, which is also a sponsor of Free Bedford, by the way, announced that they would like to sponsor Peter's Football Club, Real Bedford, for about £3.5 million, which are about $4.5 million. And that was just pretty much amazing. I heard it through the speakers. Also, Peter Dad told me like 2 hours 2 hours before everyone knew. So I'm like, it was like, hey, I gotta tell you something. I'm like, yeah, okay, tell me. The Winkle Wolf twins want to sponsor us. Like, oh my god, really? Yeah, they want to sponsor us. So well, I already knew it before everyone else knew. So that was great. But yeah, that's a big step, especially for a football club like Real Bedford, which is like fourth league division, I think. Fourth league. And I mean, Real Bedford, when Peter bought the football club, ever since, they have been promoted to, I mean, every league, every year they have been promoted to another league. I mean, that shows how successful Peter is in running one, in running a football club. So, yeah. But that was pretty much it with the day then. I mean, we had the panels, we had the panels, presentations, we had the football game, then we had the announcement of the win. And I must say, for the first time, it was really cool. I mean, I know also Peter, what he does there, because Bedford is his hometown, what he does. I mean, imagine if Real Bedford gets promoted to the Premier League or to like the second league, which is like down below the Premier League, and he builds like a stadium and people go there and see, hey, that's the first Bitcoin football club. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing for Real Bedford because it brings them money, and that's amazing for generally the community. And the community of Bitcoiners. And so, with that, dear people, I hope you enjoyed this episode today. And I'm not sure if you can tell, I'm a little bit sleepy, so I hope I didn't talk nonsense. But make sure to check out the Swiss Bitcoin Conference for any German-speaking people who are watching this. I will link that down below. And make sure to check out the G-Code Conference, which I will also link down below. And, of course, Solify, which... as I said before, I will link that down below. And yeah, people, that's it. That was another episode of Nomad Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Thank you to you, the viewers and listeners. It's always great to have you. And yeah, hopefully maybe see you soon at the next Bitcoin conference, either in Germany, either in the UK, or maybe one on Madeira. Wink, wink. No. But hey, who knows? Maybe there will be a next one in Madeira. There's always a... We never know, so yeah. But hopefully see you soon on the next conference. Bye. Nomad Podcast.